Darlene Thompson.
Darlene? Hi, this is Matthias.
Hi, I'm just in another meeting right now, so I've just got you on mute, okay?
All right.
Thanks. Sorry about that. I'm back now.
Hello, darling.
Hello. How are you doing?
Oh, hanging.
All excitement all the time here at Outloud Central.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, Heidi.
Who else is on the call?
Colleen.
Hello, Colleen.
Darlene.
Oh, Darlene. Oh, hi, Darlene.
Oh, it's okay. Just go good old what's her name.
that woman up north. How is it up there? It must be shockingly dark and cold.
Yes, that pretty much describes it. The days are starting to get a little bit longer, though, so we're getting about 4 or 5 hours of sunlight, which is good. And it's about minus 24 out there, and winds are blowing, so it's a lot colder than that, actually.
Yeah, just a delightful environment.
Yeah.
Darlene, how long have you been up there?
About 8 years now, actually.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Wow. And you work with communities up there?
Yeah, a fair bit, yeah. I don't travel to the communities very much because it costs an awful lot, but it's a lot done by phone, fax, and that sort of thing.
And what is the population of the city or the town that you're in?
Nunavut.
This quote-unquote city that I'm in is about 6,000 or 7,000, and it's the capital of Nunavut. But the entire territory of Nunavut, which takes up one-fifth of the landmass of Canada, only has 30,000 people living in it. So very sparse.
And that used to be one of the northern territories, or that was considered the...
It used to be the Northwest Territories, and then it split up into two. So Northwest Territories and Nunavut. So now we have three territories rather than two. You're right, though.
I took a Canadian politics course years ago, so that's how I even know any of that.
I was going to say, you know quite
you
a lot
know
about
now, you now know more than most Canadians do.
And down here in Canada's banana belt, the snowdrops are starting to come out.
The banana belt?
Yeah, that's what we call it. It's a joke, but... dear.
Who just joined?
These were from Vietnam. I just joined the conference.
Ah, Su Hui. How are you?
Yes. Hello. Is Adam there?
Yep, I've just joined. Hello.
Good morning,
okay.
Or evening, or morning.
Yes. 1 a.m., is that evening or morning?
Well, it's all relative at that point, I think. It doesn't really matter what it is, it's late.
Yes, somewhere. Anyway.
Maybe we can get everybody to make a deal, Adam, where we alternate these calls to friendly times in, you know,
friendly places.
Sort of the West and friendly times in the East.
Mm. Well, no, I don't mind this time. It's kind of get used to it, unfortunately. But yeah.
But yes, I'm very happy to bring your shopping over.
Yeah, I'll see if I can do it. The Adigo just managed to get through to my mobile. There was some bizarre problem with dropping numbers that would normally be part of the mobile number that I've never heard of before. But anyway, she got through to me, so that's very good. So you were quite right about them being a good service, and I was wrong on that. But anyway, so that will sort that out. But I will try and see if I can find a Polycom. Make
yeah, they do their best, Adigo, by us.
Yeah. No, she went to quite a bit of effort. You know, I mean, this is not... I wouldn't have expected that from what I imagine is... Well, perhaps it is a big contract. I don't know. But, you know, it was service beyond or as good as you could sort of hope for with effort put in, I suppose.
Well, they're a relatively small company. We, Matthias and I have actually been to their office, which coincidentally is not far from ICANN, in Marina del Rey. And I mean, I think we're a big fish in a relatively small pond in terms of revenue. But, yeah, I mean, we couldn't... They actually had to construct the in order to swap the interpreter between two separate conference calls, they actually created their own equipment in-house to do that for us. And the interpreters actually come in no matter what day, time of the day or night it is. And they actually come into the office there and take the calls from their actual offices, which sometimes is, you know, 5 in the morning for them.
Yeah, yeah.
Or other odd times.
Yeah. Ew. No, I must. Yeah. Anyway, the main call. I am a bit worried that it. You know, there shouldn't be a time when. You know, it's almost as if half the region is, well, half the world's population is potentially not going to be encouraged to participate, and that's not a great message, I think.
Well, you know how the ICANN board alternates its calls, so it's at a every month it alternates between sort of region friendliness, so.
Yeah.
Every other time, it's at a time which isn't great for half the people, but at least it's fair to everybody.
Yeah.
So maybe that's really an answer.
It could be. Yes, it could be. Anyway, today's call, do you know who will be on? I mean, I just heard Wolfgang, and...
Darlene's on, and Du Hui, and Heidi and... tonight, and I'm not sure about
Gareth.
Sebastian.
Hi, Gareth and Sebastian.
Well, it should be joyous.
We've got a good regional publicity.
Was that Sebastian
Hello?
As well? Sorry.
Yeah, this is Wolfgang.
Okay.
Ah, Wolfgang.
I was just wondering if there was someone from the main, one of the main working groups, the main summit working groups, or, you know, either one of the sort of people who can give us a good oversight of what we're meant to be doing. Because I'm not sure that I know, and I don't know how much Wolfgang knows.
The problem with me is that I'm here in another meeting, in a steering committee meeting in Vienna, and unfortunately we could not finish in time, so we have still some items on the agenda. So that means, is Adam on the phone?
I am here, yeah.
It's okay because Adam and I am co-chairing this workshop. Probably Adam could take the lead and I could jump in a little bit later if we have finished our meeting here in probably 15 minutes. But I have to be in this other meeting, so I have now just left the room. I hoped that we finish in time, but it didn't work. So, Adam, would this be possible?
Yeah,
sorry?
I can try something, but I'll explain to people what I know, and then perhaps more people will know more than I do.
I can do a bit too.
Yeah.
Probably, you know, I could, you know, if this is acceptable. I don't know how many people are now on the phone. 5, 6, or
I think something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, because I probably can. Just say, you know, in 2 minutes, I summarize what my ideas for the workshop are, and then, you know, Adam could take over. Is this okay?
That would be fine.
Yeah. Okay, you know, what I have in mind basically is that the workshop is mainly about discussion. It's not about presentation. It's not panel presentation. So this is an opportunity to discuss various issues from an at-large perspective, because we have basic documents. The documents has been produced by the Presidential Strategy Committee. So they have a transparency and accountability document, and they have all related documents, which are linked to this subject, like the internationalization and things like that. I have talked to Irie Lenzipuro, who is a member of the Presidential Strategic Committee, last week in Oslo, and he agreed, you know, to give an introduction into this paper. I think Adam and I would, prepare ourselves, some introductory remarks from an at-large perspective, and we would produce also in advance now after this telephone conference, a special paper from an at-large perspective. It should be no longer than 5 pages maximum, where we try to identify what are the relevant transparency and accountability issues from an at-large perspective, which could lead also in this paper to some proposals for action or for recommendations, which then can be discussed. But I would not propose to have a workshop where we have various presentations from invited experts or from at-large structures, because I think this is a subject mainly for discussion, and this is also a subject where we try to invite other constituencies, so because this is a good opportunity that the at-large brings their vision on transparency and accountability to the other communities, because this is a general issue for ICANN and not only an at-large issue. But our point is that we bring the at-large perspective to this, and in so far then we would have to advertise this also to other constituencies. It was for me a little bit still unclear whether the workshop now will take place on Tuesday, or whether that, my understanding was that the transparency accountability issue is an issue in the general meeting on Sunday, but there will be a special workshop then on Tuesday. Is this correct, Nick?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, so that means we are talking now about the workshop, and it's on Tuesday, not on the T and RA contribution to the General Assembly, no? Okay.
It's
a little bit more complicated than that. It's not just on Tuesday. It's on Sunday and on Tuesday, the workshop. The workshop, it's the main part of the summit. There will be 5 workshops in parallel. The objective is to have the RLS's reps participating to one of the workshop, and at the end of this sessions, it's to have a policy document elaborated collectively, and you have to add, in fact, that you will have 1 hour and 15 minutes as an introduction of this topic during the Saturday day of conferences, and that will be for presentation more than discussion, let's say, and the workshop will be for discussion, and only for discussion.
Okay.
But it's between in the morning up to 4 p.m., and then it could be on for 2 to 4 p.m. on Tuesday.
Okay, yeah, this was my understanding. So that means we have... in total, to fill around 250 or 280 minutes.
Sorry, I had to move away for a second. I'm sorry.
I think it's more, because you have, 6 hours on Sunday and 2 hours. That means that you are it's a working group for something like 8 hours.
Yeah, the working group and the thematic session are entirely separate things.
No, we were not talking about thematic session, but they are on the same topic. There is an introduction session on Saturday.
Yes.
But that's for the presentation and the workshop. It's 6 hours and 2 hours, 6 hours on Sunday and 2 hours on Tuesday, for Alice's reps to discuss and to elaborate a common position. Then, if you are able to start by an issue paper or whatever, it will be great to help everybody to participate at that discussion.
Well, yes. What we had planned on doing, staff-wise, the working group indicated, would be that we're obviously going to compile a list of documents that are relevant to the mandate of the working group, each one. And, of course, if anyone can think of additional documents that should be included or documents which they know about that are external that should be included, we've already received some documents like that and linked them to some working group pages. And then... we would at least produce for you a staff paper outlining what has been said relevant to the working group's mandate in the past. And where to find those statements, and you could then make use of that to the extent that it's useful in drafting the working group's draft statement. Optionally, we can try and draft an actual statement. Which we're happy to try and do that. It's obviously that's easier when the subject is something that at large has had one or more previous statements on the subject. It's obviously then easier because we have something to draw from. Otherwise, I'm in a somewhat precarious position to try and guess what everyone's opinion is.
I'm afraid that we have not yet clear statements on this, so that means that's why we have to discuss it. And
true.
So far, the paper which Adam and I tried to prepare will be an input paper, so that means we'll stimulate the discussion, and at the end of the Sunday meeting, then we will hope to produce this paper, which then could be used as the at-large approach to transparency and accountability.
Certainly. That would be ideal.
And it sounds like whatever, Wolfgang, you're planning for me and you to do, we should be working with staff on whatever it would be that you were talking about, essentially summarizing relevant ICANN past documents. Okay.
Good afternoon, everybody. Nick, may I just let everybody know that I've called in. Hello, Wolfgang. Hello, Adam.
Christopher.
Oh, great to have you, Christopher.
Okay, good. Welcome.
Who is else online?
We have Wolfgang, Darlene, Garth, Adam, Sebastian, and the staff, and I might have forgotten somebody, in which case I'm sorry.
And Christopher, I have to leave now for another 20 minutes because I have to go back to another meeting, and I will call in around 20 minutes again. So sorry, but I have to leave now. I'm already pushed into the room back here.
I'm sorry
for that.
I'm 10 minutes late, but I tried a different route into the conference call, and it didn't work.
Okay.
So we're just trying to review what work is laid out before us, Christopher, and Nick was talking about...
Just carry on.
Nick, one of the questions I had as a relatively new member to ALAC anyway is, have there been previous comments from the ALAC on transparency and accountability? There was the process in 2007 and 2008, and comments for, I suppose, the earlier parts of the President's Strategy Committee and so on. So is there anything, do we have any statements from the ALAC on this?
Not on that topic per se. There are various statements that relate to the subject that are a part of other previous statements, and I can certainly compile together, what those are, and references to where the entire statement is, so that you'll have. But there's definitely some substance there. It's just in other statements.
Okay, that's what I couldn't find anything, so I thought that might be somewhat the case because it's such an issue that there would have been a comment of some kind. Okay, excellent. Thank you.
One point I would like to raise, and I know it will not be in this working group that we will solve it, but it seems to me that there are some possible overlap between the workshop number 2 on future structure and governance of ICANN and the workshop 4 with transparency and accountability of ICANN.
Well, that I think, Sebastian, I think you're right, and that's been noted in some of the descriptions of the different working groups. One thing that I'm not clear on, and I perhaps others are on the call also, is exactly what the working group, the summit working group, has been thinking when you were discussing what these different groups should do. And if there's some way you could provide us with a summary of the sort of thinking that's gone before, you know, this call today, that would be helpful. I don't know. Perhaps Darlene has been on the summit calls. I haven't been able to because they're at an awkward time for me. But is there some summary of, you know, what's got us to where we are now, particularly in relation to that working group number 2 and what you're expecting from this particular working group?
I think that 3 people here who could do that, Darlene, staff and Nick particularly and myself, but Darlene, do you want to say something about that?
Is Darlene still on the call?
Unmute.
She might have muted herself.
Light.
Okay. Darlene, are you with us? Yeah, well, maybe I will start, and as soon as she came, I will leave the floor to her.
I'll send her an email to ask her where she is.
I don't want to take just... I have no real answer to that from my side. I think, you know, we put a list of different topics, and they were chosen by the at-large representative, and then... those 2 topics were quoted at the highest level than we have to do with. I was thinking that it seems to be a very important topic, and we have to split into what it could be done to be more. One, it's about structure, and the other, it's, I would say, about process. If I can try to split the 2 workshops like that. The 2, it's about structure, and the 4, it's about process. I don't know if it's a good answer, but Darlene, if you are here, you can add something, and Nick, of course, you can do too.
Yeah, I'm happy to help if I can. Perhaps I should, in case it sounds like Darlene's still offline.
He's hiding.
The idea behind the working groups is that the 5 subjects were obviously 15 subjects which people had to choose from. And the idea was that the people would go into the working group they chose, gave the highest priority to, that had the language support they needed for those people who had a need to participate in a language other than English. And that those teams of people would then come up with a statement on that subject, however they interpreted that subject. Of course, we provided a paragraph or 2 of what the general idea was in the survey text, and you will see that description also duplicated on the top of the working group page for each working group. That doesn't limit the working group's statement in any way. It was merely because, you know, some of these subjects are more or less well known to people than you know, people have different levels of understanding of what has happened in various areas. So that. Then the working groups would begin working in advance of the meeting, as we are now. If necessary, depending on the topic, briefings with staff or other experts would be arranged, again, before the ICANN meeting and recorded for those who were unable to be present. And that there would be a draft statement of some kind ready for consideration at the meeting when it begins on Sunday, so that by the end of the two sessions during the summit, the statement would be complete. Obviously, there is some, as you've noticed, there is some relationship between different subjects, and we had in mind that each working group would select a chair, one or two vice chairs, and a rapporteur, and that those officers would help take different parts of the subject, if necessary, to draft different parts of the subject, and or work in coordination with the officers of the other working groups where there was obvious cross-pollinization that would be useful, or coordination that would be useful, and we would facilitate during the summit, you know, breakfasts or lunches or something across the working group offices to help with that, with any coordination that was required. And that we would otherwise provide whatever background briefing material that the subject required and that the working group wished to have. Accepting that in some cases these are broad topics, and it's new ground that's being broken by these subjects in terms of what at large has or has not said in the past. And this is one of those groups where perhaps it's, you know, there is less material from the past to look at than in some other cases. There's not none, but perhaps less. So, of course, that's also an opportunity for you all to come up with something new and important.
That's up.
And very visible because of the nature of the summit and the publication of these statements at the general session on Thursday in Mexico City.
Okay.
May I have a question?
Go ahead.
May I have a question? So for the statement, do we need to have something like the outline of the statement before as a job of the working group, or we make it during the meeting on Sunday? I mean, Adam and Wolfram, do you have to work before and the working group have input? And there is, I have the summit, so the one who chose to join this working group, and not only ALAC, but also the ATLAS structures, do they need to be aware of the kind of statement to be happened, or we let it happen on...
Sue Hui, I don't know if anyone else is having this problem, but I'm finding it extremely difficult to hear you.
Correct.
It's very quiet, yes.
Can I repeat my... my question is, do the working group need to work on the statement before, before coming to Mexico, so that other people in the working group, and even the ALAS structures who chose to join the subject, can have aware of the issue before, or we let make a statement in the meeting, until on Sunday?
I think, if I understand correctly, and Nick, Sebastian, you can correct me if I'm wrong, yes, I think the answer is that the purpose of this call and then email and then another call will be to begin at least a draft outline of what we think the discussion should be about and what the statement should be aiming towards. So that is something that we should be preparing before Mexico. And I imagine we should also be preparing and agreeing on what the hour and 15 minutes on Saturday should look like and who should be invited to speak and how that should set up the rest of this discussion. That would be what I imagine we're doing now in preparation for the start in Mexico. So we'd want some outline of the draft statement. It may not be a statement as such. Nick and Wolfgang have suggested that there should be a
a paper of some kind, which would be a background paper or a summation of previous work. So that's what I think we're meant to be working on for the next 3 weeks, I would imagine it is. Does that sound correct?
Okay. I think so.
Yeah. Okay. And I have to apologize, I don't know a great deal about this subject. I just decided to volunteer for it because I felt it was my honor-bound duty to do something silly like that.
Brave soul that you are.
Yes. So.
But Adam, you are not, you were supposed to be here to share this first meeting, but you are not obliged. But I think it would be great to stay because we the first item of this, of all the working group for the first meeting will be to choose the one who will lead the work. I am for the working group number 2, and you are for the working group number 4, in charge of helping for the setting up of this. But now it could be
okay.
Open and given to somebody else, but I am not sure that it will be easy to find. But
yeah, well, that's fine by me. I mean, I'm talking a lot, and a lot of people aren't. So, how do people feel about this particular issue of transparency and accountability? What are the key issues that you've followed over the last 2 to 3 years? That I think it's been, well, certainly 2 years. It's been discussed in detail in ICANN. I don't know if Christopher or Garth or anybody, Darlene, if she's back, would like to make a comment about that. Then we can perhaps get some substantive type of discussion.
Well, let me have a go at that. First of all, I'm a member of this this working group because the staff said I was. So I recall filling in a form saying that I wanted to discuss the JPA, but since that's no longer among the working groups as explicitly, here we are. So that's a great pleasure for me. Secondly, having worked with a number of other public and private organizations, I have to say that in spirit and in practice, ICANN is quite remarkably open and transparent. The problem that I find as a private individual on the outside is the vast complexity and the volume, and how to develop techniques for filtering through the newsletters, the discussion lists, the conference calls, and so on and so forth, in order to focus on a few issues which are of particular concern. And as a delegate, and I have a representative role in this field as well, it is quite difficult to act as an interface between the complexity, albeit, as I've said, all very open and transparent if you've got the time to work through it all, to pick out the subjects which are of particular relevance to the concerns and interests of, constituency is a big word, but your mandataire, the people who have feel that you're representing them. I give you one or two examples on the general thesis of IDNs. First, I feel that ICANN has been reasonably transparent, and that secondly, having made the effort, I think I can identify where the issues are, what needs to be done, and how that relates to the interests of the people who, notably in the Internet Society, who sent me off to Puente in this domain. But on the GNSO GTLD debate, it has become far too abstruse and detailed, and I would I'm confident that I could do it, but it would take me 3 weeks of research to plow through the whole of the ICANN material on new GTLDs and the GNSO policies related in order to, before I could tell anybody else what the transparency meant. So in short, yes, there's plenty of transparency, but there are too many trees and it's very difficult to focus on a few issues seen from a private point of view where you're working on your own through an ADSL line in your spare time.
Thank you. That's something I'd half written down without anywhere near as much as a thought beforehand, so I completely agree. Simplification of issues so that people can understand in a page or two whether something is of interest to them or whether it's something that they should be conveying to others.
I'm aware of the, well, grumble is a derogatory expression, but the concern that is widely expressed that ICANN should be more transparent and more accountable. And of course you can always improve, but having worked recently with four or five other organizations, they're not doing so badly, you know.
And anyway, the problem may be the opposite, that it's almost too transparent.
It's easier, and here I'm sure that our staff colleagues online will not feel this as a criticism, but it's actually easier to dump the whole of the information in the public domain and leave poor Joe public the swang, the problem of sorting through it all, than to give it structure and priorities. And one issue, for example, which just comes to mind as I'm speaking, I wouldn't hold myself to this, but it would perhaps be interesting to have a sort of quarterly linkage between the actual ICANN board agenda and the flow of issues which are going through the bottom-up process and the lists and the committees and so on, so that one could get a feel at least as to how the board is, and presumably the senior executives of ICANN, perceive this flow of information in terms of their own decision-making priorities.
If I may, that subject, many of you may recall that there have been comments from at-large in the past and also from the GAC and others that there is no it is not easy to see the connection between the advice that comes from an advisory committee, any debate that may or may not be held on that advice by the board, and any impact that debate and that advice may have on the matter in question, just as it is not evident if a process is long and has multiple public comment periods, it's often difficult to see what changed in a document between revisions and why changes were made. Were they made in relation to a comment made by a given commenter, and if so, why? These things have been mentioned even by large community members in the past, is that yes, there's all kinds of things published, but the linkages between things and the impact that public input has is not readily apparent.
Well, that's a way of saying the same thing. I didn't know that, and as you all know, I've had no contact with the GAC to speak of for more than 3 years, so I didn't know that was on the table, but it's a similar observation. Okay, somebody else have a go.
It's Gareth here, by the way. I hear myself referred to as Garth a couple of times, and that's continuing problem, but it's Gareth. All I would like to say at this stage is that I too have heard and been watching on the various discussions some of the concerns that have been raised regarding transparency and accountability. I haven't seen issues that have hit me directly myself that where I thought there was a problem, but certainly there's been enough concern raised that I think that this working group is a good idea. And but I certainly personally don't have any access to grind as far as this is concerned, but I'm certainly, I think, as somebody else has said just a few minutes ago, it's certainly something we should be concerned about, and if there are ways that we can improve it, then so much the better.
Okay.
Darlene here. I'd like to echo what Gareth just said there. I mean, it's as you say, nothing that's really impacted me personally, but I can see problems in the way. I guess it has, in a way, impacted me personally because, you know, first of all, they were going to have chairs and secretariats coming to all of the meetings until this fiscal year end, and then all of a sudden that was backed out, and then it was back in because of the summit, and it's like they keep flipping what they're going to do without even telling people about it. So that is a lack of transparency, and if you're going to make rules, okay, but, you know, then don't go back on them.
Well, that was strongly stated when the travel policy was released in, I guess, November of last year. There was a concern stated by pretty much all the railroads unanimously that the travel policy had not taken into account at all the needs of the regional at large organizations. It had only addressed, you know, committees like the ALAC. Or the CCNSO Council, but left completely apart the issue of regional organizations in the CCNSO, for example, and in at large. Even though there had been detailed comments provided by the at large advisory committee on travel support and the need for regional support, people are going to think I'm
exactly,
back.
And that doesn't even
I'm a part of here. I'm just throwing out things that I have heard you all say on this subject to sort of remind you all of.
So this sounds like one of the first document that was sort of involved in ICANN, or it created ICANN, was the white paper, and that used a process that Christopher probably knows the correct name of, or where it was notice and comment. There was a process beforehand where people submitted comments, and the white paper responded to those comments saying, you know, we received a comment on X, and it said that, for example, regional at-large secretariats should be funded, and we decided no, they should not, for reason X, and what we decided instead was Y, and it went through in that way, and then it delivered what was the outcome document, the white paper. Sorry, I'm confusing a real document and imaginary situation, but you know, there is a formal policy making process that follows that format of sort of comment and response and outcome. I'm sure it has a correct name in policy making circles, and that sounds to me like what we are asking for as policies are developed and reviewed. I'm wondering if I'm thinking completely wrongly that there isn't a formal name for it, but I'm sure there must be.
Well, if you ask the IETF, they would call it an RFC.
Yeah.
Why not? Maybe the sort of comment and response dimension of open process should be tightened up a bit, so that because it's very easy for a secretariat, been there, done that, to pick and choose among the comments received and to select those which are plausible and ignore those that's totally implausible, but also to, in effect, orient the policy in terms of where you think most of the support lies. But that doesn't satisfy minorities, pluralities, all those who feel that they have a completely different approach, and maybe a bit more effort in terms of explaining why a particular option was taken in spite of the, or as a result of the comments received, rather than a bit of a take or just the next draft is different, right? But then you need to be a really arcane observer of the whole process to detect which bits have been changed and why. So, it's possible to be more transparent in that area. There are governmental processes which range from the green paper, white paper process, which Adam just described in the United States, to the European Union's Council of Ministers negotiating documents where every amendment is footnoted as to who proposed it, how many member states or other in that context supported it or opposed it, so that the reader of the document can see in real time almost exactly what the political process was behind the amendments that are now before you. That is a bit extreme because it involves very skillful secretariat drafting. But it would be possible for the ICANN staff to footnote or highlight versions of documents with meta information about why changes were made in response to which comments.
ICANN does do a good job.
And I think
job.
That's also useful for a decision-making body. Mm. If the board receives a document completely clean from the staff saying that's it, then in effect the board has to decide we like it or we don't like it. And it's normally extremely difficult for a board to start amending a document which is in its final form. But if there's been a debate in the bottom-up process and it's been properly recorded, and if the board receives a document which, as I've suggested, is footnoted or highlighted to illustrate where the points of debate have been, what the divergences may have been, That in the ICANN context, that should be relevant to the board.
Uh-huh.
But guys, I came on the call to listen to you because I've not been on one of these discussions before, so I have no intention of making a lot of traffic here. So why don't some of the others go ahead and give us a steer as to where you want to go. Nick, you're chairing this, aren't you, in Wolfgang's absence?
I think Adam is, really.
Adam's chairing it, okay.
In a random sort of way. I'm as new to you this as you are, Chris, I mean, this particular issue. So would anybody else like to comment? I mean, we're going through some of the process issues of transparency. And I think they're very relevant to informing ALSs as well, so it's a good subject for us, both upward to the board and downward to the ALS. Darlene, was that you? Sorry.
No, sorry. This is Heidi.
Oh, hi.
Hi. And I'm just wondering whether you would have interest in having work or recommendations and tools from outside organizations that have focused on increasing the transparency and accountability of international organizations, civil society organizations, private sector organizations. What I'm talking about is a UK think tank called One World Trust, whether you've heard of that. So let me go ahead and put the URL into the Summit Working Group chat, if everyone's on that. I think Adam, I can see Adam and Darlene on that.
Uh-huh.
But it might be very useful for everyone in this working group to take a look at their work, including each year they produce a global accountability report where they focus on a number of international organizations, NGOs, private sector organizations, which might help develop some of the elements that will increase or make more effective the accountability and transparency of ICANN and at large.
One World Trust were, actually ICANN commissioned them, would it be 2 years ago, as part of the first, probably the first round of this transparency and accountability, and they wrote a study for ICANN on this. But I have certainly forgotten about them since, which I think is probably a sign of the enormous amount of information we get from ICANN, and is what we're talking about in many ways. But yes, it's a very useful reminder. Thank you.
We can certainly put up links to the One World Trust report.
Yeah.
And also the accountability and transparency framework that the board adopted in February 2008.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just to illustrate the problem that I've referred to earlier, I have no idea in all these web pages that I've got before me where this working group for chat is. Just no idea. I'm currently... I don't want to waste your time over it now, but I'm sure somebody in the staff will give me a hint about that offline.
One of the comments in the summary of the 2007 document was that the complexity of the ICANN website, which has changed a great deal and become easier since then, is still very complicated. I think it's probably even more complicated now that we have a lot of working wikis and... because users are involved, there's less management of them. So on the one hand, they're very valuable.
One part of the question, Christopher, you may open Skype and you will get some information, because it's one place where we share a document or a link, or and you need to open your Skype chat. Please.
Will do.
Sorry to interrupt you, Adam.
That's all right.
Oh, no. Go away.
So would anybody else want to give a comment on where we are in terms of either accountability or transparency and issues that we may wish to be concerned with? I know that others were appeals and review processes seem to come up quite often.
Well, we've been talking about mainly about transparency.
Yeah.
When this issue comes to the IGF or to other fora, accountability is almost more important, and I think ICANN has made considerable steps in the last 10 years to ensure that the decision-making process is accountable to the stakeholders and to a lesser extent to civil society through ALAC. But the accountability of the board to the global general public, as many governments consider are represented by them, that is less clear and is still a political issue. On the one hand, the ultimate accountability to the United States through the Joint Project Agreement and is a thorn in the flesh for many governments. And on the other hand, government opinion varies considerably around the globe as to what extent the GAC advice, strengthened or not, as it may be, is a sufficient surrogate for full accountability to governments. This debate will continue, and it's already going on in the IGF context, and will presumably resurface in Sharm el Sheikh and Geneva. So I think if we want to give the accountability dimension the same weight as we have given so far in this afternoon's conversation to the transparency dimension, then we need to start thinking about some of those issues.
Okay. comment on that? We want to comment on the role of governments as...
Well, no, I think you need to put it in terms of the role of ICANN vis-a-vis its external stakeholders. And that, to differing degrees in different countries, is the government or includes the governments, but that's not the whole story. Recently, my recollection is that Paul Toomey felt that accountability to the external stakeholders in the business community was understated in the ICANN organization, and an effort was made, I think, in Lisbon and Paris, but an effort was made to open up the dialogue with business interests more widely. I actually have no idea to what extent that was considered to be a successful initiative, and from what I've just said, I wouldn't regard it as the whole story by any means. Those of us who feel that the basic ICANN model should be sustained, I think owe it to ICANN to make sure that this issue is debated proactively. Otherwise, as we heard from Hyderabad, and no doubt we'll hear again in Geneva, the counter proposal of a fully intergovernmental management of ICANN will certainly be put on the table again. And the new U.S. administration needs to be encouraged to think more widely, because one of the main arguments for intergovernmental influence over ICANN is that this would be an alternative to the continuation of exclusive United States tutelage. So that issue is there, whether we address it or not in this working group or is addressed elsewhere is an open question. I believe some of my ancient colleagues in the European governments think it should primarily be addressed in the GAC, but in my humble opinion, as the expression goes, if they were going to do that, they should have done it some time ago. But
Yes, and ICANN seems to have to be accountable to many different partners. As you said, some of them are internal and some of them are external. Some of them have different powers, supposedly like the U.S. government. Some of them, although equal stakeholders, seem to have more power than others, which the business constituency would probably be one, because I don't remember any equal outreach to, well, the at-large, you might say, but and they're certainly funding a summit, but there hasn't been the level of outreach, I think, to the business, to say, the non-profit sector. And if we're working on a multi-stakeholder model, then that is perhaps unfortunate. So this sort of multitude of accountabilities that ICANN has is, I find, a bit confusing. I'm not even sure I know what accountability is in the ICANN context, and perhaps trying to define that would be helpful. What does it actually mean, accountability and ICANN? That's the question.
This is Heidi again, if I may. This is very interesting in terms of, you know, intergovernmentalism and global governance issues, but I'm just wondering to what extent it might be of interest or of use for this workshop to also look at the accountability that the at-large structure currently has to the individual internet users that it represents. You know, because you're speaking about ICANN and the various accountability of ICANN, but to what extent is the at-large structure as it is currently set up really representative of the individual internet users, the larger community?
It's a brilliant question. It's also one I think I remember from that was asked of all the supporting organisations equally in the accountability and the transparency. You know what I'm trying to say, I think. transparency review. That, you know, we are supposed to be stakeholders and the representatives of stakeholders, and how are we therefore accountable to these people that we're supposedly speaking on or representing in some way? And of course, it's particularly relevant for the summit because we have our ALSs there. We have the full structure of ALS, RALO, and ALAC
mm-hmm.
present.
Yes.
So yes, I think that should be something we should discuss.
Sounds like we're getting quite a good list of subjects for this draft text.
I hope you're keeping better notes than I am.
Well, we are, don't worry.
Thank you. Well, it's 1:59. I have excuses.
Are you going to admit all this stuff I've been telling you?
We are indeed. We got to do something with these registrant-derived funds.
That's right. Yeah. Someone start funding governments, that's for sure. sorry. Darlene, I'm sorry, you've been very involved in all of this. Do you have any comments while I'm being silly?
Oh, no, I've just been listening and know you guys are covering all the bases, so that's great.
I must admit, I should know much better what accountability means because I'm supposed to be an academic who's interested in some of these things, but it confuses the heck out of me when I think of it in terms of sometimes and how to actually present it. I think this is Wolfgang's area, Wolfgang's job.
yeah, he was going to come back on about half an hour ago.
Yeah, we've lost him to his other meeting. Tends to happen. Okay. Now we're now up to the 1 hour. So have we? I mean, we could keep sort of talking around, I guess, for a while. Do we want to do that, or do we want to try and think about different issues? Whether it's, I don't know, what service does ICANN provide, and is that an element of why can't I say that T word? Transparency and accountability.
It's late, Adam. It's late.
Well, yeah. You know, there are many issues, I think, that are in the papers. I, for one, am finding it rather late. So unless anybody has something very pressing to say or think we should wait a couple of minutes to see if Wolfgang returns, I'm wondering if we could see how staff have managed to summarize the last hour or 50 minutes or so and what we've come up with at least as a sort of starting point of a few issues that we think are relevant.
I think that's a great idea, and if we could get a list like that, and then each of us could kind of say, hey, well, I'd be willing to draft up some wording on this subject and, you know, split up the work a little bit, it might be a plan.
Okay.
Well, and we can certainly go and find any resources to what has been said on this subject in the lodge, maybe also some other community we can find, and any documents that refer to these various subjects to provide background information for reading.
If that's okay, then if we could start to wrap up, I have one question. I'd like to go back to the Saturday and the intention of this 1 hour 15 minutes, which seems to be the plenary session, as it were, where we're introducing this topic. Is that the session where we want someone from the PSC and perhaps somebody from? Is that where we want the presentations about what this issue has meant within ICANN? A sort of overview of where we're going to go, you know, is that the presentation time where we should be looking for people to talk?
You can have both.
I think so.
You can have people who speak at the plenary to educate the whole community, and you can also have people who, or some even the same people, who speak to you as a working group in detail if you want.
Yeah.
It depends on what your objective. I mean, you know, you've got an audience of the whole community there, so you know, what is your objective on Saturday? Is it, you know, I'm guessing here, please correct me, I'm guessing that it is to introduce why the subject matters, what you all think are the subjects that should be covered in any statement on the subject, and why you think that this topic concerns all ALSs and can provide meaning, can provide some benefit to volunteers and the wider public.
Mm-hmm. And if I may, this is Heidi again. I mean, Nick, I think that's brilliant, but perhaps in a way to segue into the workshop, perhaps that session, that introductory session, could end with some key questions that workshop then could answer.
Okay. Well, I like your idea, so I hope you're writing down what you just said, and this is perfect. And unless anybody has something pressing to add, shall we call it a night, an evening, an afternoon?
That's fine. Thank you all very much for the opportunity to have a chat with you
thank
guys
you very
again.
Much.
And we look forward to hearing from Nick and Adam and Wolfgang and others as things go.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Buenas tardes. Sebastian, toujours là?
No.
Nick?
No.
Bye.